Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm your host, Michael Edward Miller. In our first segment today, have you ever heard of chelation therapy? Chelation therapy is a way to cure metal poisoning. Someone exposed to mercury or lead or other toxic metals would have to undergo chelation. The chelation process flushes out the mercury or lead from the person's body. It's a legitimate medical treatment, but now it's being misused to treat autism. Chelation is not meant to cure autism. Some people are trying it anyway, though, because they think environmental toxins like lead and mercury cause autism. They think chelation could get rid of the toxins, which could improve or even cure autism. Studies have generally not shown chelation to be an effective treatment for autism. In fact, chelation can be dangerous. It can cause liver or kidney damage. This month on Around and About Chattanooga, we're doing a four-part series on autism. Today, we're examining which treatments are backed by science and which ones are not. First, we're going to talk with Jenny Davis Hampton. She's a board-certified behavior specialist in Chattanooga who treats autism. She helps parents who have autistic children. She says she's seen a couple of families try chelation to help their autistic kids. It didn't go well.
Because it was very painful for the child. Both those families have stopped using it.
The child may be given injections, and those injections could cause the pain. The injections have chemicals that are supposed to flush out certain toxins.
So the belief is autism is caused by toxins in the body?
That is one of the myths, yes. There is not, at this time, a cause for autism. There's a lot of myths out there. Some of it is genetics. Some of it could be environmental. We don't know.
There are dozens of different treatments out there for autism. It's almost overwhelming, the number of options. Dr. Ken Pittman is a Chattanooga psychiatrist.
I feel that there are some evidence-based treatments. There are some treatments that are not evidence-based but aren't necessarily dangerous. And then there are some treatments that are just plain dangerous.
Dr. Pittman, who used to live in Indiana, says he hasn't seen chelation being used here in the scenic city very much.
I've seen it more when I was in the Midwest.
However, he does say gluten-free diets are fairly popular in the autism community. Gluten-free diets are another alternative treatment.
There actually isn't a ton of scientific research that supports a gluten-free diet.
Studies have failed to show a large-scale, measurable benefit to gluten-free diets. Some parents do it anyway. The idea is children with autism might be particularly allergic to foods with gluten, that is, foods like breads or cookies, foods made from grains like wheat, barley, and rye. Restricting those foods might help a small percentage of children with autism, and here's what Dr. Pittman advises.
I tend to kind of go at it from a standpoint, if they're going to try it not with a lot of other things.
Yes.
Be careful what you're doing. Don't get too restrictive with the diet to the point you're actually causing behaviors because you're so restrictive. And then have some way of monitoring it.
Some treatments are based in solid science. To talk about those, however, it's important to know a couple of things first. One, autism can be treated but not cured. Two, autism is not a one-size-fits-all condition. If the only impression you have of it is from Rain Man,
but it's definitely not my room and I don't have my tapioca pudding in the bed.
You've got a narrow view. Some people with autism are geniuses, like the protagonist of Rain Man, but many are not. In fact, some autistic people may have severe learning disorders. They might not be able to speak or even communicate in any way. That's where Jenny Davis Hampton comes in. She's the co-director and co-founder of Autism and Behavior Services in Chattanooga.
It is a nonprofit here in Chattanooga that we do strictly one-on-one therapies.
Suppose you were an autistic child and you couldn't speak. Suppose you needed to learn communication. If you were at the clinic, she'd get down on the floor and play with you.
In the floor, we have toys out. If you want a ball, we're gonna have you ask for the ball, whether that is through sign language, through pictures, at some children, it's just pointing or looking at us.
So when you're playing with the kids, you're teaching them these communication skills. How do you know if you're making progress?
They start asking for things. There's nothing like working with that child for the first time and him signing, more for drink or sign my turn for their turn with a ball.
What Davis Hampton does is backed by science.
It's called applied behavioral analysis. She says it's derived from psychology. It can teach a child how to listen, communicate, read, and learn, and how to obey commands.
Just recently, I had a child who did not want to do a puzzle. He got mad and flipped over the table and knocked over a few bookshelves and came and tried to attack me. So what I'm trying to do is set up a nice reinforcer to where you do something I want you to do, you're going to get reinforced by it. And also teach him that it's not okay to flip tables and knock over bookshelves.
She says she's serving about 20 children right now, and there's about a month-long wait for new children to get in. Dr. Ken Pittman says he has an even longer wait time. Right now, Chattanooga just doesn't have enough doctors and clinics to treat the growing number of people with autism.
There's a large number of people with autistic spectrum disorders, and there's a very small number of providers. So many of us that are in the area have wait lists for initiation of treatment of months. My typical wait list at this point is around 2 months. There are providers in this area that are over a year.
Many families have to drive their children to Atlanta or Nashville to get treatment. Davis Hampton isn't sure why Chattanooga lacks resources.
I don't know, but that's the main reason why Laura and I started the clinic here is because there was no one else doing what we're doing. And families, the schools, you know, you get their child goes to school and they learn certain skills, but it's so hard to generalize those skills into their home. And if they have issues going to the grocery store, there's no one out there to help.
Dr. Pittman says that's one reason why parents try alternative therapies. Even if they have insurance, even if they can afford legitimate treatment from a qualified professional, there may be long, long wait times. So parents go online and read about things they can try at home, like gluten-free diets.
That's kind of a factor, unfortunately, of kind of desperation because there's not enough resources. And I think as we're able to grow the number of resources available and hopefully attract people from outside of the Chattanooga area to come here and gradually improve the treatment here, then we'll have more and more resources and more ability to meet the needs without people necessarily having to go to less evidence-based treatments.
Here in Chattanooga, there is a relatively new organization, the Chattanooga Autism Center. They're online at chattanoogaautismcenter.org, and they have links to local services in the area. Jenny Davis Hampton's nonprofit is called Autism Behavior Services, and that's online at autismbehaviorservices.org. For WUTC, I'm Michael Edward Miller.